He just got to be smarter than the equipment. All right, there we go. Thank you. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. This morning, stand as we read God's Word together. I'm under time constraints, so I want to make sure I follow my guidelines. And we'd be done by 9:45, correct? Okay, good. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. We're going to stop reading on verse 6. Now look at me this morning. It's a very simple message. Six simple points from it. They all start with the letter D. Now whoever came up with alliteration of outlines, if I could find that guy, I'd like to slap him. Because I put messages together in about 25 minutes that were all right, but it took me 2 hours to find that last P or Q or R that would go with the other points. And I've had to change the points and start all over again. So there's six simple points from this, because I want to talk to you this morning about Satan's tactics. Satan's tactics. What is he trying to accomplish? So I got the devil figured out. No, you don't. See, this happened 6,000 years ago. And what the devil did there, he's still doing today, and still fooling the same bunch. You're not going to outsmart the devil, dear people. You're not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. You're not going to do it. By the authority of the Word of God, we'll be smarter than he is. But you won't do it on your own. He's been sucking down humanity for 6,000 years, literally billions of people. And he's still fooling folks. Now, so I want you to listen this morning. If you're a note taker, I don't mind if you write down the point real quickly. But other than that, I want you to listen to me very carefully. I'll talk to you about Satan's tactics today. Heavenly Father, bless us and help us this morning. Pray, Holy Spirit, now that you will guide and direct in what is said and done today. Lord, help us this morning. Give us ears to hear and receive. Thank you for the beautiful music that we have heard. Thank you for the voices of these young people. Thank you for the vessels, God. Bless them, please. And bless this message, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I want you to hold your Bible open because we're going to see them. A vast majority of the tactics that we're going to see from Satan come from verse number 1. Then we'll go to 4 and then down to 6 and finish out there, if you'll notice carefully. Tactic number 1 is deception. Deception. It says in verse number 1, Now the serpent was more, what's the next word please? More subtle than any beast of the field. Subtle. Now, as a roaring lion, lions are not subtle. So that's another facet or another aspect of the devil. He's like a roaring lion. They're not subtle. They let you know what they're going to do. Their intention is very clear. Now, a snake, that's a whole other prospect. A snake operates on subtlety. In other words, he operates on deception. Sneaks up, takes his victim, etc. Now, that's Satan's tactic number one, dear people. Deception. He never will let you know what his full intention is for you. He'll never let you know what will be the full consequences of his actions that if you follow his leading. He'll never let you know that. He doesn't want to let you know. Now, the stupid thing about the whole thing is we do know, though, don't we? Young people, look at me. You work on bus routes in your churches, don't you? Right? We don't look down on anybody in the bus routes, right? We're not better than anybody else, right? But you go to the bus routes, don't you? You go and knock on those doors and those houses and those homes where those dear people live, whose lives have been sucked in by their choice, by what they did. You see the consequence of that. You don't go in a home where the mom's on crack and the dad's on drugs or alcohol or he's in prison. You don't go in a home and everyone's sitting around the table reading the Bible, praying, living for God. That's not how it works. That's what the consequences are. And Satan deceives us, tries to deceive us into thinking, but that won't be me. That's them, but that's not me. That's not their life, but that's not my life. That's how it is for those folks, but it won't. See, he's already got many of us deceived this morning. He's got us into deceiving. It won't The Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. But you sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. He's a deceiver. So I'll get him. No, you won't get him figured out. You won't get ahead of him. You know how con men operate, don't you? They operate on the ignorance, the greed, and the selfishness of people. Sometimes they operate purely on people's ignorance because they don't know anything. They don't know what they should do. They don't know what they should believe. They don't know what they hear. And they operate purely on ignorance. Sometimes, in the vast majority of the time, con men that deceive people operate on their greed. You send me $20, I'll give you $10,000. People go, oh boy, I'll make $10,000, and they send them money. But in both cases, dear people, there's no reason for the people of God to live selfishly, and there's no reason for the people of God to live ignorantly in their lives. We have the Word of God. We have the truth of this book right here. It is light. It is hope. It is direction. It is foundation. It is everything that we need. Well, see, my problem is, see, I do my own thinking. Yeah, and you're a fool. You're a fool. You don't do your own thinking. You do the Bible thinking. You let the Bible think for you. And if you do, you'll be intelligent enough to look at whatever deception Satan sends down the pipe. And he always changes things, puts a different face on it. It's the same old junk. Been the same in the selling the same old bill of goods for 6,000 years. And it's like you stand back and you think, why can't people see that? Well, the devil's got them deceived. No, they allow the deception of Satan to take place in their life because they wouldn't follow the authority of the Word of God. Or they live selfishly. It's about the height of worldliness is selfishness. I want to get what I want for me and my and mine. You just listen to people when they talk. You can tell whether they've been deceived or not by how many personal pronouns they use when they talk. I, me, my, mine. All they do is talk about themselves and their life and what they want and what they get and how they live and my, me, my. That's all. And Satan feeds on the selfishness of people. Deception comes to the ignorant and the selfish. And there's no reason for us to be in either category. Yes? Yes? Number two tactic Satan uses. Number two is dialogue. Would you look at verse 1 again? And he said, and the serpent said, and the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman. And then she says to the devil. And then he says. And then she says. And then he says. And then she says. Then the fruit is taken. Sin comes. What is she doing talking to the devil? What is this about dialogue? You know what? Listen to me. Satan, his tactic is to enter us into a dialogue with the devil. Well, I don't talk to the devil, Pastor Johnson. Oh, you don't, do you? Seriously? You don't talk to the devil. You don't enter into a conversation, a dialogue with the devil. Well, after all, you know, I just try to be informed of what's going on around me in my life and what's taking place. A little bit. Fascinating concept, young person. Fascinating concept. Anybody who tells you anything that goes contrary to what the Word of God says, my friend, anything, anybody, any source, any place, anywhere, anytime, anyone, is getting you to dialogue with the author of all confusion and hatred in this world. I don't have to listen to what they say to know what they're telling me is wrong. So why are we got young people so infatuated with this Twilight thing going around? This book, this movie that comes out about some, I don't know, I haven't seen it, I haven't read it, but I just saw something in the newspaper about young people. Girl infatuated with some guy's a vampire. That's demonic junk. Fascinating. Reading the book. Don't bow your head now. Just look at me. Reading the book. Fascinated. And they're all just sitting around kissing and playing suck face on each other and living like immoral bunch of pigs. We got Christian young people. Christian young people. You say, well, it's just a book. It's dialogue, my friend. It's dialogue. It's the devil telling you that your love and your passion is more important than your principles and your beliefs. That's dialogue. See, you didn't even think about that. See how easily he has got you deceived. Some of you looking at me right now and go, well, that preacher doesn't know what he's talking about. You know who you're believing this morning over this preacher then? Look at me. You know who you're believing this morning over this preacher? Huh? You ain't believing a book, friend. You're not believing a movie. You're believing the stinking devil. Because he's dialogued you. He's got you dialoguing with him. You go to Christian school and you've been taught the Word of God. Been taught that God made the world in six 24-hour periods. No mistake, that's the way the Bible said it. And it's very simple to prove it. The sun went up and the sun went down. That's been a day ever since God made it. And that's how it is. But we're going to dialogue about this evolution as opposed to creation. And is it intelligent design? Why can't we just say God made it? What's wrong with saying God made it? No, we got to dialogue about this sort of thing. We got to talk about this. We got to discuss what the situation is. After all, and the sad thing is, young people, and I love your mom and dad today. I'm thankful that you're here. But if your parents have been bought into this idea, they need to sit around and talk with you about stuff. But the Bible's clear. Instead of just telling you, I love you, youngin', and this is how it is, that's the way it's supposed to be. We don't need a dialogue about something when the Bible's clear. You don't either. You don't need to sit around your youth groups and dialogue about what the preacher said. And dialogue about what the youth director says. And dialogue about these things. Hey, we're going to just sit around and have a little group discussion about this. Texting each other back and forth. Now, I don't know what y'all do about cell phones in your ministries, but let me just nail something here. Texting each other during church. Can you believe what he just said? I cannot believe this. Some of you text so much your thumb's bigger than your neck. Can you believe what he just said? He just said something about my favorite book. I cannot believe this. Dialogue. Well, that's not the devil, that's my friend. I said anybody that opposes what the Word of God says comes from the devil. Well, now that's pretty simplistic, Pastor John. Thank you. You picked up on that. Good job, Spanky. You got it. It's dialogue. I don't sit around and discuss what people say. Well, there's opinions about this and there's opinions about that. Are we going to base our life on opinions then? Hey, look at me. Are we going to play Coyote Canyon with the Word of God? We're just going to fool around, reach in, and pick out what we believe, what we don't like, what we do like. We pick out this, we pick out that. Because after all, we're so intelligent, you know. I'm 15 years old. Now, I'm not trying to mock your intelligence, but let me try. Hogwash, pal. You've got to be kidding me. There is no way your intelligence can supersede God's Word, godly parents, a preacher that loves you. There's no way. But we don't need to listen to what the world has to tell us. We don't need a dialogue. Satan is a master at that. His tactic is dialogue. It's not intellectual engagement. You say, well, what are you afraid of, Pastor Jones? I'm not afraid of anything. I don't fear anything. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This is a wasted illustration on the young people in this crowd this morning. But you're looking at old hippie from the 60s. You understand? Don't remember a lot about the 60s and we won't go into that. But you're looking at old hippie from the 60s. And the truth of the matter is, I grew up on that. Every man marches to the beat of a different drummer, Henry David Thoreau. Thank you very much. I grew up in a public school system in California where school teachers stood up in the classrooms in the history class and told us communism was a viable philosophy to base our economy and our lives upon. I grew up in a school system that taught us that you come from monkeys and you go to the zoo and you throw peanuts to your relatives. I grew up on that kind of junk. I grew up on the center of liberalism in America today, California. I grew up being taught that what you need to do is, well, you got to sit around and discuss it. God gave you a mind. Think about it. Use your intelligence. Use your mind. Use your brain. Besides, what are you afraid? You're afraid to discuss the matter intellectually? I'm not afraid of anything. The day this preacher got right with God, the day I put my face and my faith and my hope and my life back in this book was the day, friend, the light came on. And realized I was dialoguing with a bunch of fools. The last time they taught me English when I was in school, in high school, was my freshman year of high school. The first semester and the rest of my 4 years of high school was spent in sensitivity training. We spent a whole semester on this question. If a tree falls in the forest, now some of you folks my age are already giggling. If a tree falls in the forest and there's no one there to hear it, does it make a sound? Now some of you out there writing it down right now, I want to go home and think about that. You got... Dude, you got issues. I got to quit saying dude. I'm a 55-year-old fundamental Baptist preacher. I'm preaching to teenagers too much. I was talking to a businessman the other day. He's explaining the financial curve and the drop in the business and everything else. And he got done. He goes, what do you think, preacher? And I go, like, dude. He looked at me. I go, I mean, my goodness. Pardon me. Dude. And then the teacher went around the classroom and asked us all, what did we think? What do you think, young man? Well, normally it would do so. Because, oh, I'm sitting in the back of the classroom. Now, look, I was a worldly teenager, had no idea what was going on. I sit in the back of the classroom going, this is junk. This is garbage. She comes to me, she said, what do you think, Mr. Johnson? I said, I tell you what I think. As long as I'm not underneath the tree, I don't care. She said, you're very narrow-minded. I said, thank you, ma'am. Can I go out in the parking lot and smoke a cigarette now? Let me out of here. Stinking dialogue. We have to sit around and talk about it. We don't talk about this subject. Let's just discuss this matter, whether or not we ought to do what we're told. Just shut up and do what you're told. Number three tactic he uses. Look at verse number three. Verse number one. Three simple words. Yea, hath God said. No, that's four. It's new math. Excuse me. Yea, hath God said. Okay, that's four words. I was so busy alliterating the outline, I didn't count the number of the words in the verse. Here's tactic number three. Doubt. Doubt. Yea, hath God said. You'll notice some young people, you got the story, right? You got the account here? You understand, you know now that he does not come up to them and say, you will not surely die. He never starts there. Because remember, he's subtle. So he's going to deceive you. So the way he starts it is, look at me, he puts a question in your mind about things. Yea, hath God said? And he gets you to doubt. Just put a doubt in your mind. The Bible gives us assurances. So what is all this stuff about? Well, I don't know if I believe what my parents believe. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just not sure. Oh, really? Fascinating. Any parents ever had a young person got to those teenage years where they're trying to figure it out in their life? And those kids come to you and they say, well, I'm not sure I agree with you, Mom and Dad. I'm not sure I agree with the preacher on this. Here's what you tell them. You look them right in the face and you say, now here, why don't you say it right? Why don't you say, I don't agree with the Bible. Don't talk to me about whether or not you agree with me or not. What I believe is the Bible. Now, are you sure you're okay, pal? So don't get nervous, all right? Hang in there. You're sweating a little bit. Let me hold on a second. Okay, there we go. I'm sure you're fine. You're a good guy. Now you're ruining my handkerchief. But the truth is, look at him and say it. Mom and Dad, look at me. Look at that kid and say it. Don't stand there and go, well, young boy, I understand you're at that time in life where you just, we don't make this stuff up. This comes from the Bible. What we preach is Bible. It's Bible to the front and Bible to the back. It's Bible to the top and it's Bible to the bottom. It's Bible in and it's Bible out. We didn't come up with this stuff. We didn't invent it. It's all book, my friend. We preach the Word. We're instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and doctrine. It's not us. We didn't invent it. We didn't create it. God made it. It's in the book. Say it. Say it, young person. I don't believe the Bible. Because that's what it's about. But it never comes to deny the Word of God. It never comes to that first. It just comes to, well, I don't know. I mean, I need to make it mine, right? I need to make sure this is what I really believe in. I don't know about women wearing pants. I mean, I don't know about that. I mean, not all that music they say is bad. It's bad music. There's some really good words in the middle of... Oh, man, I'm going to ruin that microphone. Some of you folks my age, you're making fun of these guys with this music that just sounds like something from the jungle. Which is so much worse than, walk like a man, talk like a man. Now you're going to sit here in church for the rest of the morning, that song going through your mind. But forgive me, I'm sorry. I'm out of that, but not far. The truth is, a long way, bro. The truth is, it's a doubt. Look at me. One more time. Anyone, anyone, anywhere, any place, any time, from any source, puts a question in your mind when God put a period at the sentence is from the devil. Because he has to get you to doubt it. And I guarantee you, friend, if you're doubting things, it's because you're dialoguing with the wrong source. And you are deceived, and you need to see that. You need to stand up, my dear friend, by the grace of God today. And let me tell you, there is a serpent wrapped around your ankles who's on his way to the destruction of your life. And if you don't stop that junk, you better put it out of your mind. When the Bible's, and the Bible's clear about everything. Oh, no, it's not, Pastor Johnson. The Bible doesn't say thou shalt not eat rock music. Yeah, and the Bible doesn't say thou shalt not stick thy head in the toilet either, because you got better sense than that. Go to Romans 14. Hold your place in Genesis. Go to Romans 14. Now, when I say go to Romans 14, he's turning your Bible to Romans 14, okay? Unless you got one of those electronic Bibles on your cell phone. I'm from California. We got all the weird junk going on out there. You can't possibly imagine. Some of our services look like seances. People's face glowing in the dark from looking at their looking at their Bible on an iPod flipped over to the sideways with okay. Music in the background, and water going, and people having to get up and go to the bathroom. It's sickening. It's Romans chapter 14. Just get a Bible, would you? Just look. Okay, Romans 14. Look here. Verse 23. Verse 23, Romans 14 says, and he that, next word, doubteth, is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. Whatsoever not of faith is okay because it's a gray area. That's the NIV, another idiotic version. Whatsoever is not of faith is what? Look at me. It's what? That's right. It's not about an area of being specific. It's about areas of doubting. If you're not sure, what do? You don't do anything. That's what you do not do. If you don't know, you don't do. You're not supposed to follow on a principle of, well, since I'm not sure, I guess it's okay. Oh, no, no. If you doubt, you can't do it. So if you don't know, the answer is, That's the answer. That's Greek for no. You can't do that. My favorite one is, well, it's not a conviction with me yet. I may be bringing more trouble than I'm fixing this morning. I may be giving you a statement you've never even thought of yet. Well, it's not a conviction with me yet, Pastor Johnson, and until I'm able to establish that as a conviction for myself, then I don't see why I should have to follow that, because it's not a conviction with me. Thank you, little mini Dr. Reverend Wigglelips. Little short boy. Not too long ago, you were sitting in a diaper. We had to change. You got to be kidding me. You mean to tell me you got more strength in your convictions? You got a better understanding of the convictions of the Word of God than godly parents and a man of God who loves you? Yeah. One more time. We don't make this stuff up. We do not invent this. Anything. Any of it. We don't add to the Word of God, and we don't take away from the Word of God. We preach it just like God gave it. All of it. It's doubt. Young people, look at me. It's doubt. Putting doubt in our mind about what God says and is very clear about. And there is a principle. You sing the chorus this morning. You know the whatsoever principles. There's five whatsoever principles in the Word of God, and they cover whatsoever ye do. Whatsoever ye do. Do you know what those five principles cover? Everything. All of it. Well, the Bible doesn't say I can't do that. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Can God get glory out of that? Can't do it. Whatsoever you do in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto Him. Huh? Try that one, dear Jesus. Thank you. Where is Marlboro? Amen. Can't do it. The whatsoever principles of the Bible, they cover it all. So there's no gray areas. There's no questionable, well, we're not exactly sure. The Scripture is not as terribly specific in this matter. It's whatsoever you do. Is it under that principle? It's one of them's right here in Romans 14:23. Whatsoever you do, if it's not of faith, it's sin. It's all covered. It's all in here. Right there in the book, pal. All of it. So there's no reason for us to say, well, I'm just not real sure about that. I have doubts in my mind. And you got holes in your head. Back to Genesis chapter 3. And I don't mean to insult you, but let me try with the next point. Verse number 1, back to Genesis 3. Here's one, and this is good for teenagers. Genesis 3 and verse 1 again. Down the middle there, and he said unto the woman, yea, have God said, and she said, ye shall not eat of, and yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree. Distortion. Every tree, Satan's tactic, distortion. Now, I'm looking for two competitions here. Number one is the worship dance team. I haven't seen one of those yet. Now, you got that out here? Worship dance. You got the worship dance going. The ladies in the back here. Ms. Gomez, Ms. Johnson. Worship dance team. Biggest church in our city has worship dance team practice every Saturday night. They have to teach them not to do sexual gyrations while they're doing the worship dance. A bunch of people, about 15, 20 people up behind the band while they're singing, dancing. Gyrating like they got their underwear on fire. Like they got a wedgie like you read about. They're up there jumping around on the stage and dancing. Unbelievable. Thank you. Got down to where he lived, got him right there. That's good. The other competition I'm looking for is who gets the Oscar for being the biggest drama king and drama queen among the teenagers? I said, and by the way, if you're a guy, you're the drama king. If you're a girl, you're the drama queen. Now, again, I'm in the Midwest in California. You still have to explain that one, too. Come on, young people. Good night. What a dramatic performance you put on. Oh, I can't do anything. I can't go anywhere. My life is terrible. Hey, look at me. If you say your life is boring, there's only one reason why. And here it is, shorty. Because you're boring. That's why. Would to God I had 10 minutes to get bored in my life. I love to get bored for about a half a day. Just sit there with spit running down my face and flies going back and forth in front of me. Just love it. You know why? You know why? Because you're so dramatic. You're such a drama queen. My life is over. I got a pimple on my nose and I can't live any longer. I can't take it anymore. Drama queens. Talk about exaggeration. Good night, nurse. 14-year-old and you're depressed. About what? Well, you don't understand the pressure teenagers are under today. Can you believe I'm a youth speaker? I listen to these other youth speakers and they go, I know how tough it is to be a teenager. I'm sitting out there going, are you kidding me? Tough about what? Your mama washes your little Spider-Man underwear and puts it in the drawer for you every day. Comes and gets you out of bed and puts your cereal for you in front of you in the morning. Gets you up, gets you going, trucks you around like a stinking animal on the way to the zoo. Takes you everywhere you want to go and then gives you an allowance. That's insanity. I ain't paying no kid to live in my house. My kids come home one day and she go, Daddy, so-and-so gets $5 a week allowance. I said, you get an allowance every week. They go, when do we ever get an allowance? I allow you to live in this house. I allow you to eat my food. I allow you to use my shower 14 hours a day. I allow you to mow the lawn. I allow you to take out the trash. You got any problem with that, Bubba? Yeah, you get an allowance. I allow you to breathe one more day. Don't you mess with me. $5 a week. Good night, nurse. Are you kidding me? So you right now, you got lawyers lined up to sue your parents to get jacked up the minimum wage so they'll give you more money. Good grief. Don't you understand? You know, people, look here. Don't you understand? The devil works on the end of distortion. My life is ruined. Your life is starting. You're just getting into this thing, okay? You're just beginning. No 13-year-old should be thinking about chucking the life that they have because they don't have a life. You haven't gotten to the life yet. It's coming. If you'll do what God tells you to do, then you'll have that life Jesus promised to have. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have more abundant boredom. I didn't say boredom. I said, he said you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Distortion. Because you're too tall, you're too short, you're too fat, you're too skinny, you got the wrong color hair, your nose isn't right, your eyeballs aren't in the right place. Thank God he didn't bid you one eyeball, stick it right in the middle of your head, put a nose on top of your head so every time it ran down your back. Thank God! By the way, this self-image thing, it's all about dialoguing with the devil. It is. That's why you're not happy with your hair color. So you get out of bed in the morning and the hair won't curl the right direction and your whole day's ruined. You spend the rest of the day sulking. Your mom and dad go, I'm nothing. Then you text your friend, why don't they just leave me alone? They don't understand me. No one understands teenagers. There's two ways to understand teenagers. Unfortunately, no one knows what those two ways are. When that dad had the son who was lunatic. Look it up in the Greek. Lunatic. Teenager. Crazy. Y'all are crazy. Distortion. I mean, just blow it out of them. I don't exaggerate. I never, ever, 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 ever exaggerate. Okay, kid. Never. Just blow the whole thing out of proportion. Look at me. He said, you shall not eat of every tree. Exaggeration. Distortion. Another tactic Satan uses. Number five is denial. Then he gets to it, verse number four. You shall not surely die. Now please understand the process. He questions what God said clearly. Changes it a little bit. There's a little alteration there. Was it every tree? Now he's got him. He's got the dialogue working. She's having a nice little conversation with the devil. Come on, she's talking to the stinking devil. The dialogue's well going on. She's all hooked in here. He's got her exaggerating. God said we can't touch any tree. All of them. Now he's got her talking that way. He's got the whole bag. Listen, friend, he's got the whole enchilada. Oh, doesn't that sound good? Oh my, I felt something on that one. Yeah, amen, brother. Viva la raza, mano. See? Truth is, now he's got denial. Now somebody somewhere, somewhere at this point should have jumped up, got a stick, and beat that stinking snake to death. Somebody just said that's not true when God said it was. Somebody should have had a fit about that, right? Shouldn't it be? Should have been, somebody should have just absolutely balled up and had a running, hallelujah, slobbering, knocked the furniture down, kicked mama out the back door, fit, because somebody just said the Bible's not true. Well, when someone says that, Pastor Johnson, one more time, anybody, anywhere, from any source, whoever tells you that something the Bible says is true, is not, is from the stinking devil. You understand that? He's got to bring the denial. He will get to the denial. See, he's so subtle. This is where he's headed. He's headed one more step past this one. This is where he's headed. He's headed to the stage of, I don't believe that. I don't believe it. I guarantee you, look at me this morning, young people. I can see it on some of your faces today. And I love you. I'm not mad at you. I'm not. I sound like it, but I'm not. Just I didn't wake up feeling good about myself this morning. I don't know what it is. I mean, not in touch with my inner child. You know, I heard a guy say the other day, I can't get in touch with my feminine side. I ain't got one of those. I can see it on some of your faces this morning. See, the countenance bespeaks the condition of the heart. And the truth of the matter is, you've already checked out on this whole process of things. You're gone. You're gone right in here, and you're gone right up here. Because you've already decided, I ain't buying any of this junk. See, when I was an old hippie from the 60s and I first went to an independent fundamental soul winning separated King James Bible preacher, Hellfire and Damnation Temperamental Baptist Church, I thought the preacher had rabies. I said, that dude needs to get shots or something. There's something wrong with him. That man preaching on the love of God and make you mad. Well, I sit back there. Now look at me. Look at me. This, now the long hair thing's coming back. It's still wrong now. It was wrong then. It's still wrong now, fellas. But the truth is, I'm sitting there, I had my long hair in church. And he's sitting there going, you stinking sissies and your long hair. I was the only guy in the room with long hair. Only guy. It wasn't like he was picking on me. He was nailing my eyes. And he would point at me with that 82-foot finger. You stinking sissies and your long hair. Now, me being a California-raised rebellious child, I'd flip my hair. I'd go, yeah, baby, check it out, Rev. Woo, watch this now. Woo. So I'd be there, baby, chicken's like, whoa. And I say, you can't prove that by the Bible. No stinking way Jesus had long hair. Seen all them hippie pictures? Yeah. Don't ever take the word of a 16th century homosexual Catholic artist for what Jesus looked like. 1 Corinthians 11:14 is still in the Bible. Doth not even nature itself teach you if a man have long hair? It is a shame unto him. And as I sat there, I thought, he ain't got no verse on that one. He flipped over to 1 Corinthians 11:14. I went, oh, stink! But it didn't say how long is long. Huh? Got the question going. Spanky, come up here. That's you. I figured this one out on my own. Okay? Not even this. Don't put your hands in your pockets. Stand up here. Put your feet together. Head up. Nose straight. Good. Dude, you got nose hair. How old are you? No, just kidding. Does not even nature itself teach you? Nature, the way of nature. Does not that teach you that it's a shame for a man to have long hair? The way God made us, gentlemen. God gave you a natural hairline. Now, for some men, he'll move that hairline over a period of time. God bless you, comb over kings. Okay, here we go. But now look here. See this natural hairline? Relax, son. Relax. I'm not taking an offering. This natural hairline, see how that goes? Keep going. All the way around. See that hairline right there? That's the way of nature. So that, and now, and then it says, you're not supposed to cover your head. All right, let's check some things on this man's head. Are those on his head? Now, I'm not, you know, I'm not anatomically checked out or anything like that, but can I ask you a question? Those are on his head, are they not? Are these on his head? All right, so he couldn't cover his eyes, shouldn't cover his ears, and it shouldn't exceed the natural hairline. And you shouldn't get one of those haircuts that makes you look like you got mugged by a weed whacker in an alley somewhere either. Thank you, brother. Deny the Word of God. Yeah, well, it says you shouldn't, but I mean, how long is long? And you know, that we're dialoguing. Oh, we're going to dialogue. Are we going to dialogue? No. He's got you, look at me. He's got some of you denying the Word of God right now in your heart. You're denying it. In some cases, dear friend, you're as lost as a goose in a snowstorm. You do not know Christ as your Savior because you cannot deny God's Word and be saved. I'm sorry. You can get saved and be stupid enough to deny it later on, but even scripturally, I don't believe that's possible. You can't deny Christ and you can't deny the book. Friend, some of you know today, you just need to get an old fast. You just need to settle it and get saved today and trust Christ. But for some of you, that's not the issue, and you know it's not. That's why you're rolling your eyes at me right now. Rolling your eyes at a man of God trying to help you. Dear friend, dear friend, he's got you all the way to the, almost the last step. And you know what the last step is, don't you? Verse 6, defeat. She takes the fruit thereof and she eats. Defeat. And then immediately, would you notice immediately after that, young people, would you notice immediately after partaking of the fruit how Satan rushes over and encourages and comforts her in her defeat? No, he slithers off like a serpent who bites his victim and slithers off to watch it roll over and die. Because that's his last tactic for him. Denial is just the last step before the final crescendo. And that is, he wants your ultimate defeat in life. So what do you want from me? I'm sitting here in a Christian school competition. I just want to help you this morning. Really, I do. Because, friend, no matter how much you roll your eyeballs at me and scowl your look in my face, first of all, you don't intimidate me at all. So, you know, if you really want to jump bad, friend, go out in the parking lot and practice falling down for about 5 minutes. I'll join you out behind the building in a few minutes. I may be 55-year-old and an old white boy, but I guarantee you this, I whip 5 punks like you to get to a decent fist fight. I'm not intimidated by that stuff at all. I was something before I was a preacher, and I don't think you really want to find out what that is. So that doesn't intimidate me either. But I'm still your friend, and I still love you, and I'm telling you this. How many steps are you from the defeat Satan brought to these dear people right here? Well, boy, Satan sure conquered them. He didn't conquer anybody. His power has always been the power of influence. It's when we allow the influence that we're on the path. And here they go. Oh, man. 6,000 years of human suffering and misery. But don't blame Adam and Eve. We all had our chance and blew it also. And 6,000 years later, dear people, in the day of the iPod, the iPhone, the IM, don't know what I'm talking about. Still using the same junk because it still works. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Now the question this morning is, how far down the path are you? Because I'll guarantee you this morning. If you're denying what this preacher's telling you, and you're doubting what I've just said, not because I said it, it was all from the book. If you're doubting it, denying it, or rejecting it, he's already got you on the hook. He's already got you set up. And dear friend, I beg you this morning, in the name of Jesus Christ, I beg you this morning, for your future and for your life, wake up. Stand up and believe God's word today. Let's stand our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, please. Heavenly Father, would you help us now? Lord God of heaven, please, please. I know in the midst of the sarcasm and everything else, I realize some may dismiss so easily what is said, but I also know this. Your word is always true. Your desire is always your best for your children. And God, we do love these young people. God, please. Help them to see where they are in this thing and step out, step back. It's going to cost them a friendship or two. They're going to have to do a major overhaul in their thinking. They're going to have to get off the pride that Satan develops in a person's life. And some today, God, need to settle this thing about salvation. You're pressing my spirit so strongly on this. God, help them today. They must know. They must know that we love them and care for them. The pastor wanted them here. The youth directors, the school teachers, the principals, the directors, dear church, put all this together to encourage and help them in their lives and give them an outlet of service and preparation. God, help them to just step back. Open the eyes of the blind today. And work in hearts and lives, we pray. It's about and eyes are closed. I turn it back over to Brother Bragg, please.
If you need to use the altar, now's the time to do so.